All right, I want to talk right now about GiveMeTheVIN.com and ask John Clay Wolf and GiveMeTheVIN.com. As a matter of fact, a buddy of mine, a college buddy of mine who lives here in the city, he included me on an email he sent to John Clay Wolf, said, man, I really appreciate it. I heard John talk about it on the air, and you gave me the most for my car. And it was an unbelievable process. It was so easy, and it was awesome. Thank you for giving me more money than I would have gotten anywhere else. And he sold his car to John Clay Wolf. And this is so simple, people. This is not a lie. This is proven. John Clay Wolf, as a matter of fact, he's guaranteeing it. If he can't beat CarMax's offer or your dealer's offer, he's going to send you $100. That is a guarantee that you're going to get the most money for your car. Because if the dealer is paying you more, that's great. Then you get another $100 on top of it. And if John Clay Wolf is paying more, then that's great. You get more money for your car than you would have from the dealer or from CarMax. So if you're looking for the best way to sell your car, there's only one way to do it. Make sure that you go armed with the knowledge of how much you can get for your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:03 on ESPN 97.5. Before we get to Javon, Steph Stradley had an interesting take on this whole thing about cooperating with Steph is a lawyer, and she's also, well, she was super fan as well. I mean, she's a big Texan.
She's been
fan.
A Texan. She's been a writer about Texas writer, stuff in the Chronicle been, for years.
Yeah, covering the team and everything else. It may not be in the plaintiff's best interest to cooperate with the NFL. First of all, I would not want abused clients cooperating with the NFL investigations based on the limited information we know from previous situations. The plaintiffs don't work for the NFL. They do not benefit. And the process in practice has made things worse for those who have shared their stories in the investigation. And, you know, in the Ezekiel Elliott case, I noted the process involved putting a witness through hostile and not sensitive questioning by an NFL investigator, invasions of privacy, publicly shared assessments of credibility, and not respecting the agency and desires of the cooperating witness. We've already seen this. Just Tony Busby said last week, he said, the NFL, the clients felt like the NFL was disrespecting them. And also, Steph says, during a disciplinary process, if the issue is considered a personal conduct violation, all the investigative materials and interviews are turned over to the player. Depending on the timing of the civil claim, this could be disadvantageous to the plaintiff if they have all the information that the NFL has gotten out of these plaintiffs. So while you think, well, oh, they're not cooperating with you, the NFL is not about, the NFL doesn't give a rat's ass about the plaintiffs. What they care about is finding out as much as they possibly can and making a judgment on the player. So it's
fact finding.
Well, and that's maybe why Tony Busby said, I'm not sure anybody else is talking to the NFL anymore. I'm not sure we're going to do that anymore. Because it's not to our advantage to do that.
You know, what does the NFL do with
the NFL? Doesn't give a rat's ass about the plaintiffs. They don't care. And Tony Busby has said they felt like he went and was part of the last one because he felt like they were being disrespected by the league. The league doesn't care about the plaintiffs. They care about finding out as much as they possibly can and then making a judgment on their player. So that's interesting. That's interesting, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not future plaintiffs cooperate with the NFL because of the way they're handling this. The NFL shot back and said, oh, she's awesome and she's always been professional and everything else. Well, for some reason, those women felt like they were being disrespected by her for whatever reason.
Now, I didn't know that they turned over what they would learn to the player so he can, make a formal, defense of those.
He can go and try to get his sentence reduced by finding out everything they know about him.
And obviously that would play into the legal case as well.
Yeah. Now they're armed with that when they go to the civil trial.
Yep.
So,
But the NFL has a job that they have to do too.
Well, the NFL does, but that's not. They're not. These plaintiffs are not.
Well, it's
are
rare
not
that
employees of the league and don't have to talk to the league.
Right. Right. But they still can get their side out if they want Deshaun punished.
Well,
by the league,
punishment they want is that money that they're getting in their civil suit. Then they might. I don't know that they care that Deshaun is punished by the league. Maybe they would.
Then you, what kind of message is that? That you just only want the money and you don't care if he gets punished at all by the league? If you feel like he wronged you and you're as upset as we've heard them actually say they are.
Well, I'm sure that they would want that too, but not at the detriment of their case, of their claim.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, do you really think it hurts their case?
Well, giving Deshaun all the information that the NFL finds out about from them, yeah, maybe it does.
Does the player get that information now?
I don't know.
I would think the
league is going to make it. Well, they're going to make a decision on his suspension or not suspension before these civil cases.
Couldn't you
listen? Antonio Brown's took a year and a half his civil case.
Right.
These civil cases could be dragged on for a long time. They could be a long time. And Antonio Brown had served his suspension, league suspension already, well before the civil cases were figured out. The civil case was figured out. So. And especially with these, with 22 possible cases, this couldn't take a long time. Deshaun may have already served his suspension or non-suspension with the league by then. Javon is here. Let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Javon?
Hey, fellas. Hey, the other night I was sitting back watching TV, and I seen this league playing called the TFL, and they were actually playing in Rice Stadium, and they had guys out there like Ryan Mallett and Josh Johnson. I just want to know if you had any insight into that, and I don't know why John wasn't calling the game like the Roughnecks. But and also about Deshaun, I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints wouldn't be a team that'd be interested in Deshaun. With Mickey Loomis, he's pretty smart. He tends to figure out things, and Sean Payton, he's pretty irrational sometimes with the draft capital. So I could definitely see the Saints taking a swing at getting Deshaun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I could certainly see the Saints as a team. Yeah, absolutely, especially how well he's played against them. Remember that first game of the year where he kicked ass only to
I've always felt like Texans. The Saints have made a tremendous amount of just a tremendous amount of sense for Deshaun.
He's talking about the Spring League. It's it airs, I guess, on Fox Sports 2. At least it has. I didn't know Ryan Mallett was playing in the league. I didn't even know Houston had a team or they were even playing in Rice Stadium. But, yeah, the Spring League is – much, I don't know if it's even close to the XFL, but it's just former guys who we've seen in the NFL playing, trying to figure out if they can get back to the league.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, so I can't comment on it. It's not a great league like the XFL. That's all I know.
If you don't know anything about it, how can you? You just made a comment.
I just know it's irrelevant.
Wait, one league
did
is
it
actually
PJ Tucker in it? No,
PJ
league MVP.
No, PJ Tucker plays basketball.
PJ Walker? Did it have PJ Walker?
Well, one
in
league
no.
is playing and the other isn't. And that the one
yeah,
that's
because
playing
one
is
league is building up steam and momentum
steam.
To start next year. Chugga,
chugga, chugga, chugga. The train is getting rolling.
That XFL train is about to roll.
I feel like it
with
ran
the
off.
Rock you, as our engineer.
You sure it didn't run off the tracks?
Yeah. No. No.
Do you smell?
It doesn't matter what I smell. Okay, that's what The Rock would say.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what
Del
smells.
No, it doesn't matter what either of you two think about the XFL.
It doesn't matter what Del smells.
It feels like The Rock's got other
when
things.
When The Rock is on this show. Okay,
promoting his TV show or his movie?
Promoting his league.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right here.
When's that league going to be?
Roughnecks.
When's he going to start promoting the league?
Okay, champions of the league. 2022? First ever champions.
I feel like, or did y'all cancel 2022 also? It's 2023. Yeah,
2022.
2022.
No, we didn't cancel anything. Actually, we never had anything in 2021 to cancel.
I feel like The Rock's going to be promoting one of that Marvel movie he's in 2022, not necessarily the XFL. He's kind of busy. That guy does
that's
stuff.
That's his side job.
Making movies
yeah,
is his side
that's his
job.
Side
huh?
job. Yeah.
Huh.
He's, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like The Rock's got other priorities.
Well, here's the deal. This league is going to be? No one has even heard of this spring league. Ryan Mallett, holy!
That's a
crap.
Former NFL starter.
How dare you, John?
Yeah, he's no Landry Jones. I'll tell you that.
You're right. He isn't Landry Jones.
You know, Landry Jones, who Texans beat his ass, too.
No.
Texans.
No, the Roughnecks of the Texans. Beat his ass, too. Same difference.
I don't know. The Texans could have beat his ass. Roughnecks did, though.
Didn't that game in at the very, like, inside the five because that Dallas team couldn't get it in?
Interception.
What's the most excited you got as a Roughneck?
That first touchdown.
Was that it?
No, no. Winning that game in Dallas. That interception was... That put us at 5-0, and we're league champs.
So here's what The Rock has.
More than five games don't matter.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's what The Rock has in 2022, while he's allegedly going to be around promoting the Roughnecks. He's got the Black Adam movie, which is a Marvel movie. He's got The King. He's got San Andreas 2.
Oh, he's not doing
anything. He's not Doc Savage. He's not going to be out here.
Doc Savage is coming?
I don't know what that is. He ain't going to be out here promoting XFL.
Yeah, you're done, John.
Forget about it.
Your league is done.
Okay.
The Rock's got a busy calendar.
Rock's got some other stuff going on.
Ooh, wow. If I were you, I'd start worrying about vicious white shark attacks. Forget Lightning Lance. Australian surfer dies after vicious great white shark attack.
I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. Okay. So just know when you're on your little vacation this weekend, there's shark attacks out there.
A Big Bend? Oh, yeah. It's not a vacation. It's a grueling hours-long hike in the heat of West Texas. What vacation are you talking about?
It's a competition of endurance.
Yes. I've got to wear certain kind of shoes so I don't slip and fall and die. There's a chance I could die, 100%.
Wait a minute. Your life depends on you not slipping and falling? Well.
Does that sound like a vacation? If the threat of death is
like
part of a vacation,
you should be doing?
Why are you doing this?
No, it doesn't.
Why are you doing this?
I readily say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My wife just signed me up for it.
You don't have control of your own destiny?
We're taking our vacation to West Texas. Okay. No one ever said vacation to West Texas ever. No one ever said that. What is it? Wait, what now? Yeah. I got us going to Big Bend. I want to go see a national park. Oh, okay. Well, what else? Well, by see it, I mean going on a 12-mile hike that should last about, eight hours.
Total broken bones, under over 1.5.
Ooh, that's a good line.
I mean, it's basically just a half. Will it or will it not be? That's an alternate line is 1.5. I almost broke this when I fell on some rocks.
1.5 is plus.
That's
like
a little high.
I think you
that's a big.
There are multiple bones in your wrist.
Will there be a break or a strain? Will there be a strain?
Will you come back limping? Will you be limping after the trip? Will we see a noticeable limp?
Will there be a potential scar?
I think you could break.
This is not going to scar over, but this is. Will there be a noticeable limp? That's actually a possibility.
Yeah, that is.
That's actually a possibility. I kind of hurt my ankle, but I'm not limping when my foot got caught in two different rocks. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a chance that there's a limp. That's a pretty good action.
Do they have a bar there that you could just go?
I don't think they have a bar at a national park.
Well, then why go?
What kind of life? You don't control your own destiny at all. Nice. What is this?
Wow.
She just signs you up and you got to go?
You work all year. You kill yourself for the draft. And then when you're done, you get to go hiking?
Vacation.
Oh, my God.
I said, you're taking
get control of your house. How about take her to Mexico? Go to Cabo and lay by the beach.
Can you hike in Cabo? Can you do an endurance challenge in Cabo?
Why?
No, not interested.
Challenge and vacation combined?
I don't know if she's turned into everything has to be like the Amazing Race where you get 50 things in. And it has to be hard, like your heart rate has to elevate. I don't know. This pandemic has been the combination of her running marathons and the pandemic has really turned this into I'm going to have physical challenges.
Is she trying to send you a message without saying it? Like, well, hey,
why are you
probably
involved in it?
Hey, buddy, I'm out here.
Can she do this without you?
This is what we're doing now.
No, she's sending him a message, John.
Yeah.
She's saying, hey, buddy, I'm out here running marathons and
you need to start doing something.
You take a walk around the block a couple times.
Yeah.
Hey, get it together.
Yeah, that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
We hike. She's like, oh, the national, the park ranger said this is a hike we should do, our first hike we should do here. So, I don't know. It's supposed to be really beautiful. This is at Acadia. It was a trap because as soon as I got up there, all of a sudden when I had climbed my 100th straight stair, I said, I could be doing this at Rice.
Yeah.
What am I doing? Just because there's some leaves here and some trees, this is basically Rice Stadium where I'm climbing, and there were rock steps. They were built rock steps put into the side of a mountain, basically. I texted Solis and I just said, I'm basically at Rice Stadium with trees.
It's 17 after now because of that. We got to take a break. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Lance, would you like to talk about insurance?
I would. TGS Insurance is a text message away. Text the word money to 232323. That's all it takes. You text the word money to 232323, and what's going to happen is that you are going to get the lowest rate in homeowners insurance, more than likely. The average savings is $900. Plenty of people save into the thousands. It's not unusual, especially for people who have used the same homeowners insurance for years and years. No competitive rates means that your company is going to take advantage of you. And I'm not asking you to change insurance to a provider that's not A-rated. I don't want bad insurance for you. The reason I tell you about TGS is that they aggregate a variety of A-rated insurance companies, and then they shop them based on your address, and they give you the lowest rate. So when you text the word money to 232323, within seconds, you are going to receive a rate that you can test against your own homeowner's insurance. And if you are saving money, then they can help you switch over the same day. It's hassle-free for you. You get switched over, and you start saving money immediately. And if you've already prepaid your insurance, don't worry. This isn't like, you know, a cell phone stuff or whatever, or electric bills. You can get out of your home and car today, and you get your prorated amount back. So text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Charlie Epps walking in studio here, getting his jacket. Who's going to win the PGA this week? John Rahm. I like it.
Firing immediately.
John Rahm. And picking up his first man. He needs one. He needs one bad. How about Rory playing the way he is, Charlie? He won there in 12. And he can do it. Rory can do it. I like that, how he's playing. Jordan's playing great, too. It's going to be nice. Oh, well, we'll see. We'll see if we can win the senior championship, Charlie. Let's see.
Top five finishes. I got prop bets for top five finishes.
You do?
Let's take a look at the John Rahmer.
Well, John Rahm will be up there. He's one of the favorites. As a matter of fact, I have my odds out here.
Rory is the favorite, by John Rahm.
Yep.
Plus 250.
It's John Rahm yet to...
Oh, I'm sorry, a top five finisher, plus 250.
A top five, oh.
J. Rahm.
So, I like... So, 713-780-3776. This isn't moving. What's going on? Why is my booking not working right here? So, yeah. Oh, we got a server error. Oh, man. The server's not available. You suck.
That's a bad commercial.
That is a bad commercial for him.
That's the worst commercial I've ever heard.
Well, that's not really a commercial for him.
You suck. Mybookie.ag.
No, but right now they're sucking. How about let's get the server
Charlie's
going?
Charlie's got John Rahm plus, he's got him plus 1,400. Look at this. Rory's 1,100. John Rahm, Justin Thomas, 1,400. DeChambeau, 1,600. Spieth, 1,600. Dustin Johnson, 1,800. This is kind of the best of the best.
Yeah. Dustin Johnson actually isn't playing great. I'm not going to put him on my team this week, which is dumb.
What about Brooks Koepka? Whatever happened to
no,
him?
No, Koepka's ever since he wore
a thong in public, he just hasn't been the same player. Ever since your guys are buying each other jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's starting to make sense. You guys are golf guys. Y'all buy each other jeans. Because you say that it's going to look good on you. Then you guys are all into Brooks Koepka, who wears a thong. It's starting to feel, I feel like your golf buddies are, it's a weird little mix of guys. They got some different things going on. Brooks Koepka with the tee back, you know. And then you've got, hey man, let me get you some jeans, some tight jeans. Let me just see how that fits you. Okay. That's John's friends.
No, that happened. What about the guy who said, I'd rather listen to John's friends giving each other lingerie than Rockets basketball talk?
I thought that was, I'll be honest, I thought that was rude.
That was good. That was really good. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number. A note helped rescuers find two missing campers in Death Valley. LZ, don't go hiking. Don't go.
I've seen that movie. What is it, 24 Hours or whatever with Franco, where he gets his foot stuck and he gets trapped there and he has to like saw
yeah,
it off.
Yeah, saw off his arm. You saw that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. That was an Oscar nominated movie, if I remember.
Nicole tells Lance to make her a sandwich. Yep.
No, she knows better.
My wife tells me. As a matter of fact, I made her one this morning to take to. I got to.
Oh, no, I like to remind my wife, hey, I'm just letting you know you're burning up my vacation days on drives to West Texas and then on hikes that I won't possibly do. I'll go do an easy one.
Oh.
Just letting you know you're burning up vacation days, so sleep tight. Enjoy.
So why don't you take Nicole to Rice? She can hike while you're watching the Spring League.
Hike these steps.
Hiking these steps. Nicole may be trying to kill you. There's that. What's your insurance policy? How good is it?
It's not great. I keep it low.
You do?
That's my insurance.
That's your insurance of her not killing you.
No, your insurance policy gets too high. You're insuring your own death.
I mean, and plus, how much are your premiums with how accident prone you are?
They don't know yet. I got it early on.
Oh, I'm sure they know.
No, I got it early on.
Falling off ladders.
I got it early on.
Tripping over curbs.
I got it here like when I was a 1560. Got it a long time ago.
Did you get a higher premium for shoulder herpes?
No, they don't know anything.
Oh.
I'm telling you. I keep that quiet from them. I don't add to it. You keep your policy at a very reasonable number. It's a number where I disincentivize her against pushing me off a cliff.
So you make more than she'll get by killing you.
Yeah, I make her think about it. Like there's a conversion chart and you say, you know what? It's better to keep him alive. Because if I go hiking, I could easily get just pushed off a cliff. Right? Yeah. He fell off. He slipped off. Boom.
Oh, my that's the most believable. That, which
yeah,
is
it's believable. That's why I told Eric. Me and Eric Layton talked about it on the podcast. I told him, I said, your life insurance, you got to keep it low enough that you insure your own life.
Mm-hmm.
That you know you're not going to get killed for it. So there's no way she would push me. This doesn't make sense to push me off a cliff. Not yet.
This is a good
idea.
Maybe
5 years ago.
Should we call Nicole and say, tell her you don't want to go hiking?
No, don't tell her. She already knows that I'm not doing the long hikes.
Mm-mm.
I don't mind going. I just want it to. I don't want it to be super hard.
Why can't you just go to a beach when they're giving you? You like some foofy drinks with pinks with
What's
straws
wrong with
in
that?
Them and umbrellas.
Yeah. I don't
you
drink like it unless stuff. I go to a beach or a right. resort. Then all bets are off.
Yeah, then you could. You know,
but yeah, I don't. Something has happened where everything is. Hey, where do you want to go? We can't wait to go back to New York. Yeah, New York would be great, and then we could go to upstate New York and do this hike. Wait, that's not what you do when you go to New York. You don't go to upstate New York.
Can't you go shopping like Wendy?
Hey, what about Chicago? Let's see. Now, hiking does save me money.
It's true.
You're not having, when you're making your own sandwiches and taking them with you on the road, saves money. You're not spending, hiking does save you some money.
Yeah, it does. No question. It doesn't cost
anything. See if Wendy will hike.
No, Wendy, I ain't doing it. You know what? I'd rather you go. I'll go to the bar while you're shopping. We've got an understanding.
That's double cash out, though.
No, we've got an understanding. She's like, okay, we're going somewhere nice. We're going to go somewhere where there's places I can shop. We're going to go somewhere where there's a beach, where there's golf, and then restaurants. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do because we like to eat. We like to play golf.
Yeah.
She likes to shop. And we both like the beach.
And she's on like a healthy eating kick. So it's not,
We ain't doing that.
Yeah, it makes it tougher.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do that. Yeah, you do that. That's fine. I'll get a salad. Like, this is boring. This is boring. Although when the lobster rolls were coming out, the gloves came off.
Yeah.
Another round of lobster rolls. And then when the gin comes out.
No. Now we got something going. Now we got a vacation.
Once the gin starts flowing, some things change.
Now we got a vacation.
You can't drink gin and hike. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
127 hours. Put some respect on it, Lance.
Yeah, I said 24 hours. Whatever.
It's 127
hours. 24 hours is how long I would last if my arm got caught in a thing. Because as soon as you're like, you're going to have to cut your arm off. Nope, I'll just die. That's fine.
That's all.
I'm not cutting my arm off with this little switchblade. That's not happening.
This little... pocket knife.
Remember it had a serrated edge? No. Like, I'm not cutting my arm off. Nah, forget about it.
No.
Come on, Wolves.
Hiking doesn't save Lance money. Medical bills are expensive. That's true.
I have not had to go to a hospital from hiking.
Okay. Can you guarantee that won't be the case with this vacation?
Well, I told her at some point it's to be too dangerous.
Yeah.
Is that just are you trip? Walking? Like my feet, it's
okay,
just,
we're walking.
I don't
that's
know what
dangerous.
It is. My feet, I'll just get caught in a rock the wrong way or whatever. It just doesn't take much.
Yeah. Apparently, walking is too dangerous. That it. Listen, I can see that. I can see that.
I fired on John Rahm, top 20 finisher, minus 130. That doesn't feel bad.
Top what finish?
Top 20.
Top 20, minus 130?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's a great bet. That's a great bet. It's a great bet. All right, 929 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 if you want to come in and hang with us.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. John and Lance, along with Dell, at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The play-in games start tonight. The East on TNT. The West tomorrow on ESPN.
Who we like? Who do we like? I like tonight. I like
Washington.
I like,
in Indiana.
I like Washington, too, and I love Indiana.
Yeah.
I love Indiana.
Yeah.
So, I like in the West, I like the Lakers to win. I like the Warriors to keep it close.
Ooh.
And then
I think that's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah. It's five and a half.
They're five and a half. Well, it's at the Lakers, so.
Who's the other game?
Then it's Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
And San Antonio.
Memphis is like a 4-point
favorite. San Antonio can beat them.
I'm going to go Memphis there. Not against the spread, though.
So, Dell, you think that there's a reason. Why is LeBron touting Steph Curry?
Look, LeBron loves a good narrative. And who's he playing in the play-in game?
He's playing Steph Curry.
And when LeBron told us that he'll never be 100% again, and maybe taken out of context by some. Why do you think he told us that?
He wants you to know. He wants to give himself a chance.
He wants
elevate.
You to know that this will be the toughest thing he's ever done. Because, you know, winning a championship this way, overcoming who should be the MVP in some made-up scenario in the play-in.
Jordan thing.
It's about LeBron setting a narrative where he's overcoming. He's battling against all odds. That is why he's... And look, as great as LeBron James is, He's a bit clownish when it comes to this stuff. Look, everyone knows you're great. You ain't got to tell us how difficult things are for you. Look, we know no one's ever won from the seventh seed. We can find the stats for that.
For him saying this about Steph Curry, it's only because they're matching up.
Of course, if he was playing Jokic in the play-in, he'd go, Jokic should be the MVP. Knock it off. It's a guy trying to let everyone know how difficult his path is going to be. And if they complete the run to win a title, he can say, look, I went through who should have been the MVP. We did it from the seventh seed in this made-up scenario that has never occurred before. Give me my praise.
He's not, like, they're still one of the favorites. They might be the favorite in the West.
And
I need to double
this
check.
This isn't a unique thought by me. Even Molly Kierum was like, look, LeBron, you ain't fooling nobody.
And maybe it's a little bit of the cynic in me, Stephen A. But first we had LeBron come out with the comments and he said, you know, I'm not 100%. I never know if I'll be 100% again. And now he's saying Steph's the MVP. I think he's just setting up the narrative like, hey, when we beat Steph and the Warriors and we take them out real quick, I beat the MVP. Or when I win this chip, I wasn't 100%. And he's just setting up.
That's who he is. That is who he is.
There is. Molly speaking truth.
God, I mean, he was on my favorite team. I understand the importance of having LeBron James, but I wish you would cut it out. You're a great player. You don't have to.
He reads a lot of books.
No, it's funny someone tweeted out. It's funny you saw it. You said that. Someone tweeted out all the images of LeBron reading and said, well, how come LeBron, every time we catch LeBron reading, how come he's always on the first page?
And then somebody asked about he's reading an Alex Haley. I assume Roots. I don't know.
He's
reading. And they ask him, and he goes, oh, I just started it, but there's some really.
He's a smart guy. A really. He's really smart guy.
He's a great businessman.
That was his comment on the book.
Yeah.
Who, Alex Haley?
Was it the Alex Haley book?
Yeah, or was it Alex Haley. I don't know if it was Roots or if it was something else.
He's a smart guy.
I would just ask him, if I would ask him one thing, is just to cut it out. You don't have, this is unnecessary. Everyone catches you reading a book. Could you at least pretend like you're in the middle of the book?
Yeah.
Or something. Stop setting these narratives.
You got Nick Wright always, always pining for you as the greatest player ever. Isn't that enough?
Isn't that enough?
I mean... What did he say?
Didn't he say, give me my damn respect?
So I just saw where Tony Kukoc is getting into the Hall of Fame. And if my memory serves, that makes three Hall of Famers who played with Jordan during his championships.
Uh-huh.
One could argue that was the original super team, and he actually had it easier than LeBron.
Didn't LeBron say, I want my damn respect after they won the title?
Yeah.
Who's not respecting
Everyone
you?
Everyone respects
you. No, everybody's disrespecting him.
You're either considered the first or second best player in the history of basketball.
Yeah, who is disrespecting
you? I don't know how else you could disrespect. You could dislike LeBron, but
that's
you can't
different.
Disrespect them. And I've seen Charles Barkley say he would be like eighth for me, stuff like that. I don't take that serious.
It's Charles being Charles. Yeah. I want my damn respects. Cut it out. Every time you've won a title, you've been the finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
No one's disrespecting you. And stop pretending. Stop setting narratives. Enough. Just go play. Look, I'm not in the shut up and dribble stuff, but I wish he would stop with the setting up impossible goals for himself and then overcoming them and saying, see? See?
How did I do it?
I can't believe it.
Now, this is a more challenging. Certainly, this is more challenging than anyone expected. And this is a dangerous, it's a dangerous early entry matchup. But the odds, like when the Rockets came from the sixth seed to win, they had to go play some baller-ass teams all on the road. And we're talking about 60-win teams on the road. It was a really tough challenge. And nobody thought the Rockets were one of the favorites when they came from the sixth seed. Here the Lakers are in a seventh seed, and they're I have to check, but they might be the favorite in the West to win it all, and they're playing in a play-in game.
If they win the play-in at seven, they're going to be the favorites against the Suns. And if they play, who would it be, the Nuggets or the Blazers, they'd be the favorite against them. And they probably would be the favorite if against Utah, if they see Utah in the conference finals, they'd be the favorite against them. They wouldn't be an underdog if they make it that far until they see the Nets, probably.
The Nets. And the Nets will have home court.
Yes. I just wish he would just knock it off. I mean, come on. It's tiring. Even me, who doesn't get into the LeBron hate, I just wish he would stop.
It's a little much.
What is he, 35, 36 now? Enough. That's all.
No, he's kind of... Well, and the other point is, too, somebody tweeted, I think he's making an excuse if he loses. I'm not 100%.
Well, that, too.
They haven't played together for so... I mean, there's all kinds of excuses for not winning.
Well,
right?
Of course. LeBron does have some fraud in him. I don't care what anyone says. I firmly believe that. But it doesn't diminish how great he is. He's just really worried about public perception about him in so many ways. And there really should be. Your narrative has already been set. You're on a quest to become the greatest player
played. Didn't Kobe, too? Kobe did.
No.
Nah, but I don't think to that extent. I don't think Kobe worried about what people. He was considered the bad guy. Kobe embraced that role when he came back as the Mamba. That was his bad guy. People have totally forgotten what the Kobe history was. He was the guy who got charged with rape. He came back with a tattoo. He came back with a nickname that he created for himself. He had this thing that you hated
where he scowled.
He was leaning into the bad guy role.
I don't know if he was leaning into it or he was just...
Changed
from
his number.
From the get-go, he mimicked Jordan to his...
And he
press
a ton of crap
sound.
He caught a ton of crap. LeBron's never caught a ton of crap other than the superfan stuff, but people are big, big fans of his. A ton of people really did not like. Kobe was not as beloved as LeBron. LeBron is a much more beloved player historically. People have changed and tried to pretend like they've always loved Kobe. People hated Kobe.
I'm in that group.
Kobe's a great, great player.
And I hate
LeBron,
too.
But I think Kobe set up narratives for himself.
But you hate LeBron for different things.
LeBron's a great, great player. There's no question. Yeah. But all this stuff, this drama, the way he came in and just took apart the Lakers, the way he went and he started the super team, the way, you know, he had to go back and, well, he won a championship for his city. That was great. That was nice. After he abandoned his city, he went back and won for
the LeBron super team thing, obviously, because it benefited me. I feel like that's his least egregious sin, quote-unquote sin, basketball sin. I guess people are very offended by that, I guess. It's all the other stuff where he doesn't need to do it because he is a great player. He's making up ghosts of people who have disrespected him, or he needs to just make everyone think he's overcoming these things that don't actually exist. That is my biggest issue. I just wish he would just realize, look, you're great. Everyone knows you're great. You don't have to pretend that everyone's out to get you. Because for the most part, that's not the case.
But he does.
Did you guys not feel it weird when he showed up at the ESPY Awards and he had a safety pin to represent safe spaces? The people needed safe spaces. That just seemed like catering to an audience.
If that was sincere, great. If not, then because if you have like a dim opinion of LeBron, you think that's a guy just, you know, doing something because it's in, then that's fine. But if that's something he was promoting and he felt real about it, I can't knock him for that. That's what you feel. But this other stuff is like, just roll your eyes. And like, I almost would take on the role of, could you just play basketball?
You want him to shut up and dribble?
I didn't say shut up.
That's what you just said.
Just short of it.
I said shut up and dribble.
When it comes, not the stuff about his social justice stuff, not about advocating for things, but when it comes to himself.
Wow.
When he's talking about things.
Could you just be great?
Because you're great. I don't need you to make up things about your basketball life.
No, but that is true. I think LeBron, when you saw LeBron doesn't do anything that's unpopular. This is the one thing. While LeBron acts like he's so bold and name somebody who has taken unpopular stances. Muhammad Ali took a highly unpopular stance. For LeBron to be on social justice, well, that's not an unpopular stance.
Well, but then how hypocritical was it about China?
But that's what I'm saying. An unpopular stance would have been, hey, a slightly controversial and very slightly to say, I'm getting the vaccine and you should too. That would get some resistance from some people, not a huge amount, but instead he took the easy way and said, that's my personal choice and I don't want to disclose it. If he said, I am going to not get in a, if he had come out publicly and said, I'm not getting a vaccine, that's an unpopular opinion. If he said, I'm getting one, there's going to be some friction for him in certain elements of community where they say, well, why, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Unvaccinated people watch movies too.
Well, that's what I'm saying is he is taking, you know, the same way Jordan did that. When it comes to unpopular stuff or potentially a little bit uncomfortable commentary, he's not going to do that. And most athletes won't do that. They want to ride the wave of popularity especially with social media. He could have come out and made a stance about China, but he chose not to because it would have messed with his bread and he didn't want to mess with his bread. And I get it. But let's not act like you are holier than now when
a social
money is,
justice warrior.
Well,
when
the money matters a lot.
Right.
You know, the money matters a lot.
I'll be a social justice warrior unless it hits my pocket.
But he did say, it's out of sight, out of mind, which I get. At least he was honest and said, that's another country. I don't really care. I mean,
not only that.
He could have said
that. You know
that.
How many Chinese people watch cartoons?
Well,
we know how many watch the Rockets? None, because China's banned the Rockets.
Well,
he's got Space Jam 2 coming out. That needs to be a worldwide
box office.
I'm telling Daryl Morey
that market in China
Daryl,
for Space Jam 2 is going
to
be huge.
He told Daryl Morey to shut up and trade.
Yeah.
Is what because Daryl Morey had an opinion that he put out there, and LeBron basically told him, you need to just shut up and trade people.
Mm-hmm.
And stop trying to get into this, you know, Hong Kong.
And Daryl Morey did. He tried to trade for someone, and then the Rockets were like, now we'd rather have the Nets package.
Yeah. It's 9:45, ESPN 97.5. One more segment, and we'll say goodbye to Lance on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, boys, let me ask you a question. Do you think the Texans will make the playoffs?
Ever again?
This year.
Oh.
Possibly.
Well, they do get to play, so it's possible.
Yeah. No, there's a possibility, yeah. Why? What are the odds?
I've got your odds. Well, if you want to bet on the Texans to make the playoffs, you can win plus $650. $100 wins you $650. Not enough, right?
That's not enough.
Not enough. You want to bet against them? They give you the here's the rare opportunity. You can bet against them. Minus $1,200 to win $100.
Feels like a lock. You want to give up $12 for every dollar you win.
You want to win $100, it's going to cost you $1,200.
What if Coach Cully beats his habit? Okay.
Nachos?
Strains himself out. And now all of a sudden he's more focused.
You like Joe Burrow to make a playoff? That's your guy.
I do kind of like Joe
Burrow. +350?
+350?
You like that?
I like that. That's better.
It's better than the Chicago Bears. Bears make the playoffs +170.
Well, the Bears are a better football team.
Who do you feel confident won't make the playoffs?
Who won't make the Detroit?
Okay. If you like the Detroit Lions not to make the playoffs, oh, I have their number here.
It's got to be 12.
It's not good.
1,200?
No, it's 900.
Oh, the Texans? Wait a minute. They're a more of a favorite to make the playoffs than the Texans are?
The Texans have the worst odds in this whole thing.
Wow.
They recognize how bad this
that, is. No. Pro Football Focus said that the Texans had the 31st worst team in the league. The Lions were the worst.
The Lions had Jared Goff. You have Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor.
The Lions have the...
They also don't have Kenny Golladay anymore. They don't have...
Yeah.
I mean, they may have a worse... Yeah. Great.
Wow.
Guy who can't catch a ball. If he cost him a win last year because he couldn't catch an easy pass.
That was a bad one. The biggest favorite to make the playoffs, the Chiefs, minus -1200. Not make the playoffs, $650. You know,
God forbid, if anything happened to Mahomes.
I'm saying
that's $650 you're catching.
That's what I'm saying. The Ravens won't make the playoffs, +240. Make the playoffs, minus -300. They got a little close to not making it last year.
Falcons, but minus -300 isn't bad. That's not bad odds.
Falcons won't make the playoffs, minus -225. So here's the problem. You got potentially Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts, and Calvin Ridley. If they want to keep Julio Jones, that's a problem for that conference, for that division.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
No, and that division usually has a different winner every year.
You know who I like here? Let me find the Steelers.
How about the Saints not making the playoffs?
Minus -140.
That's not bad odds.
I don't think that's bad odds. No. I think you fire at that. The problem is it's kind of a weak division. What about Tampa? A little Super Bowl hangover, not make it +425.
Yeah, God forbid.
I mean, if Atlanta gets better.
The Saints aren't better.
And if Sam Darnold is better?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem like good value there. Doesn't seem like great
value. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Won't make the playoffs as minus -200 favorite.
Won't make the playoffs as the favorite.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eagles minus -300 not to make the playoffs.
Wow. I think what is make the playoffs for the Steelers?
+160.
I like that.
I like it a little better.
Yeah.
Dell's Dolphins make the playoffs +125. Won't make it minus -155. I like make the playoffs.
I do too because they're in an easy division, except the Bills. You probably got four wins in the division. If you're the Dolphins, right? I mean, you got to beat the Patriots twice.
You like the Raiders?
But you always beat the Patriots in Miami.
Yeah, they own the Patriots in Miami. Going up to New England, they're repeating last year where it was week one again. That's a game you should win if you think you have a shot at maybe not the division because the Bills exist, but a playoff appearance. You shouldn't be 0-1.
How about Cowboys make the playoffs?
Oh, I just saw Dallas. Let me pull them up. I think it's pretty reasonable. I think they're 160 to make the playoffs. Minus right. 160 to make, 130 not to
so
make.
So they're a favorite to
I kind of like the Cowboys to make the playoffs.
I do too.
I don't like where the Eagles are. I don't like where the Giants are. Well, let me check Washington. Who's Washington's quarterback now? Oh, Fitzmagic. Well, Washington not make the playoffs -175. So Dallas, what you're saying is Dallas is -160 to win the division? That feels reasonable.
Yeah.
That feels pretty reasonable.
Yeah, they got weapons. They got Dak back. Yeah, I like that.
These are interesting props to make and to not make the playoffs. I see so many teams, and I'm thinking, man, what about the Raiders +300 to make the playoffs? Is there any way? It's just such a competitive division now.
Well, yeah, but you got
Broncos. You got Herbert year two, which sometimes can be a down year for quarterbacks.
You got we got another playoff team this year, right? We still got 7 in each division, in each conference.
Yes. Oh, because of 17, yeah.
You know, if the Texans make the playoffs, they will be overcoming very long odds. Not only
almost as long as what LeBron faced.
Not only lack of talent in some spots and new coaching staff, but how do you overcome this?
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
That's what I said. He cleans himself up.
How do you do that?
If he cleans himself up.
How are they going to overcome a junkie?
As their head coach.
Let me tell you something. There's been some great music made over the years.
By junkies.
By junkies. Now, they don't last long.
As a football
Kurt
coach?
Kurt Cobain. Amy Winehouse was a junkie. Mm-hmm. Well, she was a drunk, too.
She had a lot of
issues.
I
got my daughter checking out the 27 Club, and we were going through videos. She's watching Nirvana. She really likes Nirvana. She likes Amy Winehouse. I showed her Jimi Hendrix. I don't think she was into the Doors as much, but one time I got her on Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill, not a junkie. Well, not a junkie, but I think Lauryn had
She's
had some issues.
She's eccentric, I would say.
Yeah, at least eccentric. But she loves the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. But, yeah, I think that there's been some junkies who've done really good. Drug junkies, not just nacho Tex-Mex junkies.
Well, we don't know what he is. I just know that he told us what he was. I don't know if it's nachos or queso, but we heard the man.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
He didn't get into specifics.
He meant Mexican food junkie.
Well, I didn't put a
Tex-Mex junkie.
I didn't put drugs on him or alcohol. He's just a junkie. I'm gonna tell you
just
about
just a garden variety junkie.
I'm gonna tell you about myself. I'm a junkie. Okay.
Let me tell you about David Culley. I'm a junkie.
Are you David Culley?
He didn't say I'm a junkie.
Who's a junkie?
He referred to himself in third
who's
person.
A junkie.
I'm gonna tell you. Let me tell you about David Culley. Who's a junkie? So are you talking about someone
else? Acting like this isn't gonna be a great year.
It's going to be
y'all
great.
Y'all keep acting like the football won't be great, but y'all keep
David
acting
Culley
like
will be great.
Monday we're not going to have sound bites to comb through.
See, the problem is I don't want David Culley to get like Stephen Silas where he almost broke down in tears because of the loss.
Yeah, I don't want it to be that.
At what point does David Culley...
No, here's why it's not going to happen. David Culley, this is a retirement package for David Culley. Stephen Silas is trying to have he's a young career. Guy trying to have a career.
I hope
he realizes
right.
This may have been a horrible mistake. At no point is this a horrible mistake for David Culley.
I need
Culley.
David Culley to stay upbeat because...
Yeah, that's true.
Because if he's upbeat, he'll give us things. If he's like... If he gets down, it's just going to be a
lot
of...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're trying really hard. It's, you know, it's tough to win in the NFL.
I don't want
to
see it beat David Culley down.
No, I want to see him, you know, whatever. Yeah, I know we lost 40-3, but you know what?
Still cashes. I wanted to say that one time.
Davis Mills looked great. That's all. He's got everything we want in an NFL quarterback.
And you know what happens to junkies when they get depressed, so I'm going to need him to stay upbeat.
Oh, I don't need that.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to stay upbeat.
I don't need him in a 67 club.
No, I don't need him.
Is that a thing? Just his face.
I don't know if the 67 club is a thing or not, but it might be. I don't know.
Face down a plate of nachos.
Yeah, someone has to pull his head up. And
David,
like,
you're going to choke to death on those enchiladas.
He's got mole all over his face.
All right, 958, ESPN 97.5.
He goes to the doctors, just nothing but queso in his veins. Go ahead.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.